From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Kickstarter videos are so popular these days, they're made fun of as often as they're made. This week, another Kickstarter video helped the smartwatch company Pebble meet its goal.
Now we've come home to Kickstarter to rewrite the story of wearables again. Join us, and thanks for your support.
That would be Pebble CEO Eric Midzikowski saying, join us, like the head of some kind of smartwatch cult. I joke, but the company launched its first ever product before most other smartwatches on Kickstarter, and it blew up. Well, this week's launch, with three new devices added to Pebble's product pile, met its fundraising goal in a matter of hours. CNET editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is here with us to talk shop. Lindsay, what's Pebble offering here?
There are three new Pebbles coming out later this year. There's the Pebble 2, the Pebble Time, and the Pebble Core. But really what that breaks down to is a cheap $99 fitness tracking wearable, you know, smartwatch. There are many of these out there.
Sure.
The Pebble Time 2 is a fancier version. You can think of this as something that competes against the Apple Watch. But then they have this totally new product called the Pebble Core. Pebble says it's for runners that can track you using GPS and can play Spotify playlists. So what it does is actually alleviate the need to carry the smartphone with you.
How does Pebble compare in the larger wearable ecosystem here?
Pebble is sort of the nerd's smartwatch. It's basically the first smartwatch that reached any sort of consumer success, and it did so on Kickstarter.
Right.
So people who have been enamored with the idea of wearing a smartwatch for a few years now often got started with a Pebble.
Is it doing okay business-wise? Do we get the sense of that or not?
It's hard to get a sense of that, but they're still kicking, so to speak, right? I mean, this Kickstarter campaign, like you said, met its million-dollar goal really quickly.
Uh-huh.
And I see Kickstarter as a platform for companies like this that are very small compared to, say, the Apples of the world or even the Fitbits of the world, big public company. The goal, I don't think, is to actually make money off the Kickstarter campaign. It's really a great marketing system for something that's still, you know, has a relatively niche core audience.
What are the dangers for Pebble? I suppose the company might sort of get pushed out by just updates to the Apple Watch, for instance.
Well, manufacturing any device is not easy, and there are costs associated with manufacturing. So if demand is not high enough, this particular company could just not grow quickly enough to justify its existence. That's mm-hmm. the biggest concern.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET. Lindsay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
Before the civil war in Syria, it was a popular destination for foreigners. Sightseeing, sure, but also a hub for people wanting to learn Arabic, one of the fastest growing languages in the world. While Syria is no longer a popular place to visit for learning Arabic, a new startup is trying to keep the conversation going and give jobs to Syrian refugees. Marketplace's Rima Krais has this story.
About once a week, Kelsey Norman fires up Skype on her laptop and dials Asala Razouk, a Syrian refugee living in the mountains of Lebanon.
Hello.
Ahlan.
They talk about the weather, weekend plans, the trash piling up in Lebanon, all in Arabic. Razouk listens carefully to Norman's pronunciation and grammar, ready to give feedback. The two met through a startup called Netakellem. It pairs Syrian refugees with people who want to practice their Arabic. When Norman first heard about the service, she thought,
okay, great, this is a way for me to continue speaking with someone. I should get some lessons in.
Norman lives in Los Angeles and is a PhD student studying migration.
I spent a lot of time in the past 2 years interviewing refugees and migrants, and I know how difficult it is to find work.
She pays $15 an hour to chat in Arabic with Razouk and has done more than 20 sessions. So, any improvement?
I hope so. She'd be a better judge of that than me.
Yes, she is better.
Razouk fled Syria a couple of years ago, leaving behind her family and friends.
Everything in Syria, I miss it.
She misses her students and teaching middle school. She also has a degree in economics, but her resume doesn't really amount to much in Lebanon. Locking down a job is difficult.
Very difficult. I don't have any work before Netakellem because I am Syrian.
Now she makes about $400 a month.
We clearly know that there's an impact. We have Syrians who are making a full-time salary or two or three times the minimum wage in places like Lebanon and Egypt.
Aline Sarah co-founded Netakelem last year after finishing graduate school. She's Lebanese-American and wanted to brush up on her own Arabic.
My grandma would tease me and say, you've been studying Arabic for so many years and you still speak with a broken accent.
But perfecting her accent is nothing compared to launching a business. She's had to battle stereotypes about Syrian refugees, deal with unpredictable internet and electricity in foreign countries, and, of course, raise money. Sarah says Netakelem has signed up roughly 30 Syrians around the world to work with dozens of students.
It's not us helping them because they're desperate refugees. It's us leveraging everything they have to offer.
Next, Sarah says she'll focus on building the startup on college campuses. Already, a couple of schools have signed on to pair their students with Netakelem's Syrian Conversation Partners. I'm Rima Krais for Marketplace.
And Twitter has now officially confirmed the rumored changes to its 140 characters a pop platform. Images and links no longer counting against your letter limit. Check. If you reply to someone else's tweet and don't want characters to count there either, also check. Some key changes to how you use the at symbol as well. I would totally detail them for you here, but it looks like we have just about run out of characters. We posted more at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.